so much, Amala. And now for the Duma.
Okay, how are you doing? I remember at my son's college graduation, the speaker began by saying, the absolute maximum of human ability to attend to something is somewhere under 15 minutes. So I know you're already like being asked to do something superhuman, but I do have a few things, my thoughts with respect to this evening. So thank you both. I mean, it makes it harder for me to just go on with my own like thoughts because I'm really influenced by what both of you have said. But the first thing I want to do is remind you that whatever I say, whatever I'm doing, I'm an animal making uncouth sounds about something inexpressible. So this is not... Okay. So my first point, I guess I'll say, is that I don't think, frankly, I don't think in terms of enlightenment. When I do think about my spiritual life and sort of why I'm trying to live a spiritual life, I think about awakening. I think about that's the more literal translation of Buddha, an awakened or a person understanding. So I think of it in terms of awakening, knowing, understanding, paying attention, being alert, being awake. Your eyes are open. The gum is sort of away from your eyes. You see. I think the term enlightenment for me is just makes it feel a little more remote and abstract. I can relate to awake. It's the feeling in the morning, a new day, energy, what's ahead. Enlightenment for me is a more vague and abstract term. So I'm going to use mostly the term awaken or alert, aware, attending, because that's more operational for me. I can do that. I can continually sort of wake up a little more. I can increase my understanding. If I think about gaining enlightenment, whatever that means, or attaining enlightenment, it's too bizarre, frankly, and far away. It makes it remote. But thinking about awakening, being alert, being attentive, that's attainable, that's real, that's doable. It's something you can work on, at least. It's not outside the realm of human experience. So that's a more active and a alive term for me. It's something actually I can work on any time. I can work on being more awake and more attentive any time if I want to. I can sort of awaken myself more any time. But it has a sort of specific quality for me. It's awakening myself, attending to the consequences of my actions and attending to the intentions that are in my mind at the time I do something. So I'm kind of coming to my second point, which is, to me, this idea of awakening or enlightenment, it's not a thing. We should strike that out of our thinking. Enlightenment, awakening, is actually a person doing something. No people, no enlightenment. It's not something that exists like outside of us, right? And actually, it's not something that exists outside of me. So when I think about it, I think of a particular person, namely me. And what am I doing? What am I thinking? What am I saying? So I'm working on attending to that. It's not complicated. It's difficult, but it's not complicated. And I don't think the Buddha intended for his teachings to be complicated or abstract. He was actually very practical in his teaching, and very practical in what he encouraged other people to do. So it's a matter of paying attention to what is in my heart and mind. What are my intentions when I do or say something? What are the consequences likely to be? I mean, I'm not going to be outside of the realm of cause and effect, of creating conditions and living the results of conditions. So why could I not set certain principles for myself to live by, pay attention to if I'm living by them or not, seeing how they're working, and making accommodations accordingly as I go along? Why could I not do that? Is there something impossible about that for a human being, flawed as I am, like me, a senior, because I'm old. I mean, maybe I have an advantage because I'm old. I have more experience with myself. I've seen lots of mistakes. So I think it's possible. I mean, I relate to it in an everyday sense of me working on being more awake, more alert, beginning a new day, that kind of feeling. Okay. I do think about the historical Buddha, I won't say all the time, but often when I think about the idea of being awake, because I think of the historical Buddha as an example of a human being who set out to do, in a way, what I'm trying to do. He had his problem that he framed a certain way that he was trying to solve. I have my sort of problem or blindness that I'm trying to come to terms with. But we're both human beings. We're both working at this deliberately, determinedly, so why is it going to be an impossible thing for me? I don't think the Buddha ever said somewhere that it's impossible for a human being in one lifetime to not experience awakening. Does anybody have a view that, like, it's supposed to take, it's impossible in one human lifetime, it's something that you have to work at and put off till some time in the future? Who's that going to be in the future anyway? That's not going to be you. This is your one precious life on this one precious planet. What are you going to do with it? So it requires a great deal of, frankly, determination and just kind of hard work. It's very easy to not pay attention. It's very easy to kind of sleep. It's easy to have things sort of cover your vision. It's easy to look away. It's easy to fool yourself about your intentions. All these things are really, they happen all the time, very quickly and easily. But we're endowed with the capacity to figure things out. We're endowed with the capacity to be aware of what's going on in our mind. We can sharpen that. We can keep working on that. We can make terrific progress if we put energy into that. Bouncing back a little bit now, remembering that enlightenment is a person, namely me in this case, doing things, thinking things, having a mind that's active. So I'm just going to pay attention to my intentions and the likelihood of the consequences of what I'm doing. If I could focus on that at every moment, every thought, that would be pretty good. So I think of the historical Buddha as a person who did that, who actually could experience every moment as a present, awake moment. Every encounter with somebody, a present, awake encounter. If you read some of the suttas, the Buddha typically, when he's asked a question or approached by somebody, responds with a question. So I think that the idea of being awake is not like just you waking up, but it's you being receptive to what is going to give you information that you need about keeping awake. So why do you think that? I mean, you ask yourself these questions. Why did I say that? What will happen if I say this or do this? I mean, you wouldn't act without some awareness of where you're going, right? What the consequences are likely to be. But the Buddha, the historical Buddha, apparently did this like naturally. And I think that's a crucial piece of this. It isn't like you write a script for yourself that you try to live by every day. You actually wouldn't be awake if you were doing that. You'd be tied up in your script. You wouldn't be awake to what was going on around you, to experiences that were befalling you, to people you were meeting. So it requires a receptivity, which means an input from other people. So this is not something you do all alone. Your heart and mind are actually as large as there are people in your experience, as large as the world, frankly. So you make an effort to be aware of that. You just work at it. You just keep doing it. It isn't. What I want to say is that, you know, I think of it a lot like other miraculous things that are hard to believe happen, hard to believe could happen, but actually they do happen. A human being walking, can you imagine that? A human being dancing, a human being riding a bicycle, a human being running. Do you know how many times you fell down until you could learn to navigate a room? Do you know what you do now without even thinking about it? Isn't it, I mean, that's miraculous. If you've thought about, I am going to learn to walk. Well, you do it by doing it, right? You just keep doing it. You just keep banging your head. You just keep falling down. You get up and you go on. And eventually it becomes so natural that you're not thinking about this. So my last point is, it's a mistake to think about all this. It actually gets in the way the more you think about it. The more you remove yourself from experience, from being present, from frankly being just awake to what's happening to you, the more you kind of create barriers for yourself. And the more it begins, you begin to be unnatural. If you can't do this in a way that is ultimately like flowers blooming in the spring or leaves dropping in the fall, like you walking across a room without having to think, let's see, left foot, right foot, it's not going to be good. There's no program for it being awake, for quote, enlightenment. And all the Buddha's teachings, to me, say the same thing. You have to learn to be yourself. All the others are taken. You have to be yourself. And you have to learn what's in your heart and mind. And you have to learn what your intentions and what the likelihood of your actions on the people around you are. That's your challenge. If you want to solve whatever your problem is, that's your general route for how to go about doing it. So I don't think of this whole idea of enlightenment, awakening, as something remote. I think of it as very real. Very real, every moment, every thought, every action. But that's okay, that's a good thing. That's just how it is. Okay, so here's a couple of quotes about being awake that make sense to me. So the first is from a poet named Mae Swenson. And this is in a letter she wrote, not in a particular poem. Not to need illusion, to dare to see and say how things really are, is the emancipation I would like to attain. So this isn't like for all beings. This is for her to lose the illusions, to dare to see and say how things really are for her. That's the emancipation she's wanting to attain. So we figure out for ourselves what that means. What are the illusions for you? They're different than the ones for me. What does it mean to you to dare to see and say things how they really are? That's the emancipation. That's the being awake. The second is from Ralph Waldo Emerson, because I think of this ultimately, why would you want to do all this anyway? Because it brings you a state of peace, a state of connection to all the human beings around you, a state of sort of, you know what it's like when you do things and you lose track of what's, you're not thinking about something else, you're not thinking about yourself, you're not thinking about what happened yesterday or what's going to happen tomorrow or this or that. You're just doing something and you're not even aware of what you feel actually. You're just aware of what you're doing. You're totally absorbed in it. It's a wonderful feeling. It's a peaceful feeling. It's a loving feeling. You could hug, you know, a blade of grass, a weed. You could hug the person next to you. It's not effusive. It's just peaceful. So, Ralph Waldo Emerson. Nothing can bring you peace but yourself. Nothing can bring you peace but the triumph of your principles. Your principles, be aware of them, use them, live them. I mean, this being awake, being enlightened, is a way of being. It's not a mental state. It's not all this other stuff. It's a person being away, living there, as I said, one precious life, a certain way. Not impossible for anybody if they're determined to keep at doing it. End.